Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
There are 15 psalms that are referred to as the Psalms of Ascent, from 120 to 134. These psalms typify the ascending or rising up of God's people from a low, suffering place to a place in the high peaks. This high place is referred to as Zion in the Scripture, and it represents many things. It's from Zion that God first blesses His people, and from Zion He deals with those who persecute and hate His people. It's also from Zion that He brings His people into the light to realize their own fallen and sinful condition, so that they may repent and to receive His forgiveness, making them humble where they had formerly been proud and haughty. Once humble, God brings His people up to and into Zion, where they can dwell in Him in oneness, and where He can find His rest and His abode in them. This is Zion. This is the place to which we all must ascend, for our ultimate destiny, or destination in the Christian walk, is the heavenly Zion, the New Jerusalem, where God and man will find their mutual habitation and full satisfaction. Matt Miller back as we have part two of this two-part series dealing with the Psalms of Ascent. Matt, it's just a tremendous portion, isn't it?
Tremendous, Chris. I agree, and I appreciate your opening word there. The sequence of the Psalms that you went through have a very important significance of the experience in the praises of the believers and God's elect. So I think we should just get into it, and we'll have a lot more to say as we go along.
Matt, we touched the first 8 of this group of 15 yesterday, kind of part one. Today we pick it up at Psalm 128 through 134, the last 7. It's very interesting how this group begins and ends. In Psalm 128, verse 5, Jehovah bless you from Zion. Then the last words of Psalm 134, the end of this group, are Jehovah who made the heavens and earth, bless you from Zion. So we have God's blessing out of Zion at the beginning and at the end, but in between there's, as you said, quite a progression, isn't there, that we'll see unfolded today.
And it's an important sequence. The arrangement of these psalms by the Holy Spirit is significant. I hope our listeners will stay with us to see the beauty of the way these psalms are arranged in their meaning.
Matt, I think we'll just join Witness Lee. He'll refer to a number of these. We may read some after we listen to him, but let's get right to it. Here's Witness Lee with our first section.
Tonight, we are going to cover 7 psalms, which are called 7 songs of ascent, from 128 to 134. Let me tell you the sequence of these 7 psalms. The first one, 128, tells us, Oh, Jehovah, bless Israel from Zion. Oh, Jehovah, give the prosperity of Jerusalem for Israel's enjoyment. This is the first song. Very good. Blessing by Jehovah from Zion. And prosperity is for Jerusalem. This is the first one. And the second one, 129. It is on God's righteous dealing with Israel's persecutors and Zion's haters. On this earth, there is a people chosen by God, becoming God's elect. Always a lot of persecutors persecuting them. The same as with the believers. Not only so, you know, Zion is the highest peak of that range of mountains. So, in the apology, Zion could typify the overcomers. The overcomers are the higher ones among the believers. So them got the haters. Them is lovable. But to those haters, it is so much of hatred. Then God came in to deal with the persecutors of Israel righteously, and also deal with the haters of Zion righteously. This is the second. Then the third, 130. You may say, since God deals with the haters and persecutors righteously, do you mean that Israel is sinless, perfect, no iniquity? No. Israel is more sinful. So the third psalm is a psalm of forgiveness, for redemption. God forgives Israel to redeem her from her not only sin, but iniquities. This is the third psalm.
Matt, we've taken the second half of 15 Psalms and broke it down again into some subgroups. We have a group of three. The first one, God's blessing, even in a way of prosperity for his people. Then we see God and his people's enemies dealt with. And thirdly, a wonderful point that God does not ignore his people's sin, injustices when he's dealing with their enemies. He also has a dealing for them, doesn't he?
I really like the picture, Chris, because it's so beautiful that first of all, you have the blessing out of Zion in Psalm 128, and then in 129, you have God dealing with, and it refers to them as the haters.
Yeah.
Zion has its haters. And we have to understand that Zion typifies the overcomers within the church. I know we've covered this in the past, but for the sake of understanding this picture here, you have to see what Zion really represents. Those who are seeking God in a more serious way, the overcomers. Okay, they rise a little bit higher among the believers. That's Zion. Jerusalem itself is lower. That's a picture of the church. In Hebrews, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem is really the church. But Zion rises a little higher. And so among God's people, some have to rise up. They have to go up to Zion. They have to aspire to a higher level. We're not talking about classes here. Some to be a clergy or lady. That's not what we're talking about. But there is a group who become overcomers. It's not a class. It's not a position. But in reality, those people are hated. That's the point we're trying to make here. It says, in Psalm 129, may all who hate Zion be put to shame. And Witness Lee stopped in this particular life state, and we didn't dwell on it in the radio program, but he asks, why do people hate me? He made this personal. It doesn't even make sense sometimes. Well, in John 15, the Lord made it clear that the servant is not greater than the master. If they hated the Lord, they're going to hate his followers. They're going to hate us. They're going to hate the believers who love the master. So anyway, the Lord deals with those Zion haters. And the beauty of it is the believers, as a result, don't become proud. No, the result is in the very next psalm, in verse 3 and 4, if you, O Jehovah, marked iniquities, who, O Lord, would stand? But with you there's forgiveness that you would be feared. And so you have a repentance, almost a confession, because we are sinful. The people who are Zion, they're sinful people. There are people who need the Lord's forgiveness. No one could stand if the Lord marked iniquity. It's not like the Lord's dealing with the Zion haters. So those in Zion then become proud because they're vindicated by the Lord.
No.
No, they're not. They, instead of being proud, they're humble. They appreciate the Lord's forgiveness.
This Zion, Matt, representing this stronger or higher portion among God's people. I appreciate a number of the adjectives or ways you described it. It's not a position. It's not something you attain to. It's not the clergy. The seemingly the lowliest one among God's people can be Zion, because it's all about that seeking, that hungering, that panting, that pursuing Christ. But interesting, Matt, these ones ultimately become one with God in Zion. That Zion becomes their dwelling place. And it's from here that God blesses all of his people. So as it has been throughout history, when God's people are represented by a stronger part. Even I was thinking of the spies in Exodus. The spies went in, but only two came out, right, with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. These were the overcomers. These were Zion to God at that time. But their being faithful or their strength eventually became a blessing among all of God's people. This is always the way with Zion, isn't it?
It is, Chris. And another example is Joseph. He was the one who was in captivity.
Yeah, good example.
And out of the captivity, the whole earth was blessed. You know, Joseph eventually in Egypt, there's a whole story in itself. There's a note in Psalm 48, verse 2, that talks about Zion particularly being the overcomers. Feel so handicapped in the radio program because we have so much to say and so little time to say it.
Well, we do want to get to this next group of Psalms, 131, 132. And this is where God's people now, having found redemption for themselves and realization of their own condition, are brought low. But this creates a kind of a situation that we really want to pay attention to. Here's Witness Lee once more.
Following is the fourth one. The fourth one is that, you know, after we got forgiven, we do have this kind of experience. We became quite humble. Formerly, we were proud. Everybody's wrong. Only I'm right. I'm the top. So proud. So haughty. But after you got enlightened, you saw the real situation you were in, so you make a thorough confession, and you got forgiven. After that forgiveness, you become so humble. You humble your heart, you drop down your eyes, not that haughty, and you calm down yourself, and you quieted your soul. But then you are just like a little baby. Wind. A wind child means what? Means to have nothing. The child formerly was all depending on the milk. Now I become a wind child. Milk is gone and I have nothing. I just be quiet in the bosom of my mother. Haven't you been like this sometimes? I have been too many times like this, just quiet. Lord, I am nothing. I am not just so little. I am nothing. I have nothing. And I can do nothing. My heart is humbled. My soul is calm and quieted. This is a condition that is good for God to come to rest, to have a resting place, to have a dwelling. When you were that proud, your eyes were that haughty, God has no rest in you. In you, God couldn't get a dwelling place. But now, you are so humble, so calm down. So this is very good for God to rise up and to enter into you, to take you as his resting place. And his dwelling. This is what? This is Psalm 131. Then, what is the following? 132. That is, Zion becomes God's resting. Jerusalem becomes God's dwelling.
Matt, let's kind of pick up where we left off here. Again, I think this is a beautiful picture as you've described it. There's no haughtiness. There's no human fleshly pride in Zion. If we are ascending to that place to be with him, there is no room for human pride. And out of this humility that comes as a result of his enlightening and our repentance and receiving forgiveness, then there's a condition, there's a situation, isn't there? There's a place where God can find some rest. As you said, I think beautiful is the best describer I can think of.
Let me read a couple of verses, Chris, from Psalm 132. It says, I shall not go into the tent of my house. I shall not go up onto the couch of my bed. I shall not give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for Jehovah, a tabernacle for the Mighty One of Jacob. So that's what results out of this, is a place for Jehovah. Jehovah has a place now. Jehovah is at rest. And that's the point I think Witness Lee is making and we're underscoring is God is finally at rest. When you were describing the picture of ascending to Zion, Chris,
yeah,
and we're going up, but it's interesting that as we're going up, we're really inwardly, we're going down. It's like Witness Lee said, we're dropping our eyes, we're dropping our head. We're not haughty.
Yeah.
We may be going up, but inwardly, we're in a sense going down to bring ourselves down and become poor in spirit. I think that in Matthew 5, verse 3, that's the description. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
You know, sometimes I think it's easy to confuse what we see and think that's Zion. It's really not. You know, you can see a lot of truths, and we have to be faithful. We have to admit in this ministry, Matt, even day by day, we're seeing truths, rich truths unfolded, you know, in almost unceasing quantity. If that becomes a source of pride or haughtiness, we may be able to talk about Zion, but we're not becoming Zion, are we?
No, and that what you're becoming is Laodicea. That was exactly what Laodicea became in Revelation 3. They thought they were rich. They had so much. But Philadelphia is really Zion. That's the church in Revelation chapter 3 there that typifies Zion.
And the characteristic there is, you know, certainly one of humility and no haughtiness, brotherly love comes out of Zion. We come to that now as we move forward because this is now, that brings us to the 133rd Psalm. Matt, I'd like to read this one. There's only just three verses in this Psalm. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the fine oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon the hem of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that came down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Jehovah commanded the blessing, life forever. Description of Philadelphia, man.
I love it, Chris. And another description of Philadelphia is they just had a little strength.
Yeah.
They kept the Lord's word.
All right, here's Witness Lee with our final portion.
After God get the rest and has the dwelling place, we can come to him in Zion. Then we all can dwell in unity. How good and how pleasant this is. It is just like the fine oil upon the head of Aaron. Then it comes down to his beard. It comes down to the hem of his garment. The fine oil, signifying God's anointing. Then it is also like the morning dew from Mount Hermon descending upon the Mount of there. We need, as God's people, the anointing. We need also the watering. And here, God has a place, a chance to come in, to command his blessing to us. We will receive a blessing of God's commandment, commanded blessing by God, even life forevermore.
Amen.
Isn't this good?
Amen.
This is Psalm 133.
Amen.
Or the last one. The last one is the children of Israel charged the priests to praise God in the night. It is in Psalm 134, may Jehovah, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is the group of seven sons of ascent. In a very good sequence, logical and reasonable. We just enjoy God's blessing from them. We enjoy God's prosperity to Jerusalem. The outsiders just persecuting, hating, and God deals with them. Now, how about us? We are so sinful. If God mark out iniquity, who can stand? So we need God's forgiveness.
Amen.
Once we got that forgiveness, we become so humble, so calm, so quiet. Then God comes in to rest, to dwell. Then we come up to him to dwell in unity.
Amen.
Where are we? We're among them.
Amen.
God blesses his people always from Zion, from the top peak right? That is the overcomer's position. From that position, God blesses all his people.
We just have to marvel again, Matt, at the sequence and the way it's been unfolded for us here. One point, let me make it, and you can talk about it or whatever you'd like. You know, God's blessing for his people, we think about it a lot probably. And I think most of us have the realization that it's conditional. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to bless me today per se more than, you know, what I've already received in my salvation. But there is a place, isn't there, where God's blessing is a commanded blessing. That means he must provide the ointment and the dew and the ultimate blessing, life forevermore. It's called this Zion, where God's people are dwelling in unity.
It's great, Chris. I mean, it speaks for itself. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when for brothers to dwell in unity. That's verse 1. And then at the end of verse 3, for there Jehovah commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I mean, this, when I first saw this verse, I thought, wow, this is where the blessing is.
Yeah.
So many people are looking for the blessing, but here's the blessing. It's clear. God commanded the blessing. He commanded. So why wouldn't we seek Zion? Why wouldn't every believer have this as their goal, to go up? When I came here today, I was driving down the freeway, and I wasn't going up the hill, but I was saying, Lord, I'm going up. I'm going up to Zion. I hope every believer, as they're listening today, would aspire to be going up. The trend among everything on the earth, it seems, is to go down. And if you're not, you know, a good picture is the salmon, how they swim up the stream. You've got the river coming down. That's like the course of this age is just forcing everything down, it seems. And that you see these salmon jumping up the stream against the tide. What a picture. We need to go up. We need to be those who are going up to Zion, where God has commanded his blessing. And he will bless the earth from Zion.
Yes. That was a good finish. I appreciated how he ended that message. You know, again, we made this point earlier, but he made it in closing. I think it's a fitting one that we would close this two-program series on the Songs of Ascent, that out of Zion, once God and man have found this mutual, satisfying, blessing-filled, resting, dwelling place, there is a blessing that flows out of there for all of God's people. All he's seeking is some who are willing, like you said earlier, Matt, to rise up, to have this kind of aspiration as a believer, not to attain a position, not to be well-known and highly regarded among, you know, our peers, but to be the ones that are really there satisfying what God is after, where we will ultimately find our full satisfaction. I think that is what I will take away from this two-program series. How about you?
Me too, Chris. And if God is satisfied, I'm satisfied. Witness Lee said one time, everyone can hate me. As long as God is happy, I'm happy.
Amen. Well, we just offer these two programs to the Lord and to you all. And if you would like to get into these Songs of Ascent even more fully than we've been able to, as Matt said, we just run out of time every day. There are so many things that we could talk about. We hope you'll contact us to get the printed Life Study messages. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. We just have two programs left now in this Life Study of the Book of Psalms. We hope you'll join us for those two. From Matt Miller, I'm Chris Weil. Thanks very much for listening today.
God views the church, the redeemed believers, from a heavenly perspective. Far from seeing her as defeated by the power of sin and sins, God views the church as the triumphant and glorious counterpart of Christ, who fully expresses the one who fills all in all. In The Glorious Church, Watchman Nee discusses four significant representations of the church in the Bible: Eve in Genesis chapter 2, the wife in Ephesians 5, the woman in Revelation 12, and the bride in Revelation 21 and 22. In each instance, he presents the church's high calling to fulfill God's eternal purpose. Recently discovered handwritten notes supplement this new and fresh translation of The Glorious Church. making it the most complete record of the messages given by Watchman Nee in the fall of 1939 and the fall of 1942. The appendix, The Overcomers and God's Dispensational Moves, is a significant, never-before-published portion of these notes. The Glorious Church by Watchman Nee from Living Stream Ministry is available now at Christian bookstores or call 1-888-543-3788. That number again is 1-888-543-3788. To get your copy of The Glorious Church or a free catalog of Living Stream Ministry publications, call today toll-free 1-888-543-3788.